too many of you cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see, oh, what's going on. Everybody thinks we're wrong. Oh, but who are they to judge us simply 'cause our hair is long? Oh, you know that we've got to find a way, bring some understanding here today. Oh, 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 picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Right, right on, right on.
Okay, I'm gonna try and get LaShonda over here, who is the organizer of this, and see if she'll grant me an interview, and we can see if we can get some more double dares going on with the double Dutch.
Absolutely.
Layla, they should be here any moment now. Thanks so much for having an interview with me.
All righty, thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, so we're here again on Recovery Radio in beautiful Charlestown, West Virginia, at the Jefferson Memorial Park on Recovery Radio, and we have a longtime Jefferson County resident who's going to be talking to us about how she feels about today and moving forward. How are you today?
I'm just fine.
Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Gloria Twyman, born and raised in Jefferson County. Went to school in Jefferson County.
Okay, Gloria. And so tell me, we were talking earlier about the opioid addiction. And since this is Recovery Radio, tell us how opioids has affected your life and your community and what we can do about it.
The opioid infection is a terrible thing because, you know, they give it to our children. They give it to our people. They see that as a means of, I don't know, they need to come up with something different because it's destroying our children.
It is destroying our children.
It is destroying our children. And it's just sad that we can't figure out some other way to treat people with illnesses because they start them out on drugs that's supposed to help them, but it's addicting.
And that would be the oxycodone, the pills.
Yes. They start out on the pills, and then they're looking for, that makes them feel high, so then they keep looking for a bigger high, mm-hmm. and then they get on these opioids, and the doctors are too quick mm-hmm. to prescribe them.
Yeah.
So they need to come up with some other kind of treatment rather than opioids.
Yes, rather than the
opioids. It's destroying too many families mm-hmm. in this county, not just in this county, all over the world.
All over the world.
And all over the world.
Yeah, so that is the consensus. That's what's happening. That's what's going on in the communities.
Exactly.
What would be your solutions? If you had your way with how to address and fix this problem, what would you do?
Well, the main thing is, I think the solution is to start in individual homes.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, these young people that strung out on these opioids, mm-hmm. they need to get back to the grassroots.
Yes, yes.
They need to know how, learn how to be parents, number one.
Yeah.
To have respect for themselves and their children. Now, you cannot call yourself a parent and be a friend and act like a friend. You have to be a parent first, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You cannot smoke marijuana and do all these things with your children and in front of your children, because they see that as a way of life. So it's a continuing thing. The chain needs to be broken.
Yeah, they do what you do, not what you say.
Yeah.
Actually,
children do as what they see.
Yeah.
And that's how they learn.
Yeah,
they learn through us.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are a parent that's on drugs, you need to try to clean yourself up. If not for yourself, if not to respect yourself and be a decent citizen, mm-hmm. human being, think about your children.
Yeah, yeah. So in the little bit of time we got left, tell us about why you're here today at this back to school party. What do you think this should bring to the county?
I'm here to see the fellowship. Mm-hmm. To see the love, to see the children all getting along as one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this was God's intent for us to get along as a people.
Well, let me ask you, are you going to double dutch for us today?
No, I don't think I'll double dutch for
okay.
you today,
well,
but I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, you'll enjoy yourself.
Yes, I'm sure I have so far.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming out today.
And I appreciate you interviewing
me. You said you're off to get your grandson, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, bring him on over.
Yes,
all right?
Indeed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're here again, live in Jefferson Memorial Park in beautiful Charlestown, West Virginia. And we have, next up is Mrs., would you introduce yourself?
Miss Tammy McDonald.
And Tammy McDonald. Yeah, you sound great. I saw you squint. That's the beauty of radio. Nobody can see your face and your facial expressions and just hear your voice, your wonderful voice. So how long have you been in the community here, Charleston?
We've lived here for 4.5 years.
4.5 years. And so what do you think about the opioid addiction?
I think there isn't a person alive today in this country that doesn't get touched by it.
Yeah, this is Recovery Radio, and that's why we want to bring this topic up. And I think that this back-to-school party is somewhere to start. Tell me about, we were talking earlier, and you said something about the recidivism rate that goes on around here because of opioid addiction.
People, the what?
The repeating. People keep going back to jail over and over and over again.
Yeah, because nobody's fixing it. They're just locking them up. They can get drugs in jail. You can say all day that they don't, but they do.
Yeah.
And if they're just locking them up and sending them back out and they're not doing anything to help them or to change their way of life, that's a big deal. You can't recover if you don't have a lifestyle change.
That's right.
And you can't go back to the same place you lived. You can't go back to your same friends. You just can't. You can't recover like that, because you can't be friends with a drug addict if you're a recovering drug addict.
You have to change your environment.
Yeah,
is that correct?
You have to have a change. And there's nobody wants to help people make that change.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just get out of jail and move.
Yeah, yeah. So this is there's a lot of events going on today in Jefferson and Berkeley County, getting kids ready to go back to school. Are you excited about this Double Dutch?
Oh, yeah, I don't think my grandkids have ever seen the Double Dutch.
You have someone that has never seen Double Dutch?
I think so.
Well, I would love to bring them on Recovery Radio after they see the performance that's taking place here. What about you? Did you Double Dutch as a child?
No, I didn't. But I know lots of kids who did, and
okay, but you're familiar with the sport.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're called, it's a sport.
I know.
Now,
well, they should. It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, and so Yeah, we here on Recovery Radio believe in cultivating the community, and just like you stated earlier about changing the environment, changing the soil, having something to do after rehab is what I like to say. After rehab, then what? And would you find that to be the case here in these?
Oh, definitely,
yeah,
definitely.
And there,
we were talking about earlier the stigmatism. Mm-hmm. People that employers or people in the community, they hear that you were an addict, and immediately they go to a bad thought. They shouldn't think bad about it. When you say, I used to be, or I was, or I'm in recovery, that should be praised, not looked upon as a bad thing. Okay, so you had a problem, but now you're fixing it. Every day you're moving forward, and that's a positive. If you give them negative energy and you make them feel bad about what they're doing as in recovery, then that makes them turn around and go back to what they were doing. Because if they're not looked at any differently, then who cares?
Yeah, who cares? They'll stay in the darkness.
Because they don't always do it for themselves. They don't always, like the other lady was saying, respect themselves. Maybe someone gave them a hand up and helped them into recovery. Mm-hmm. But then when they go out into the community and they see tattoos or they see evidence of, or they hear I'm in recovery, then immediately they give them negative thoughts. They just send out negative stuff to them.
Yeah, I appreciate the crowd was bigger, thinning out because we had some glitches in getting started. But hey, listen, as long as two or three people are gathered together with something
yeah,
good will come out of it.
Everybody seems to be having a good time.
Yeah. So they're getting cranked up. We beat the rain, I believe.
I think so. I think God let it go around us. I don't think it's going to rain on us.
Well, thank you so much for the interview today, okay?
You're welcome.
And I hope your kids enjoy it. All right, here we go, back on Recovery Radio. And we have a young lady who is probably in the, wait a minute, let me guess. You're in the sixth grade?
Fourth grade.
Oh, you're going to be a star. Yeah, so we're going to interview, what's your name?
Stasha.
Stasha, can you spell that for us?
S-T-A-S-H-A.
Stasha, that's a unique name. That's very different. Okay, Stasha, and how old are you, Stasha?
9
years old. Okay, Stasha. Tell us about, how much fun are you having here so far today?
I'm having a lot of fun.
You're anxious. You ever see Double Dutch before perform? Double Dutch jump rope?
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen it? Can you Double Dutch?
Probably not.
Oh, well, we have someone here who is willing to teach you. Maybe you can ask Mom to get Mom's permission to join in when the troupe starts the Double Dutch routine. And so what do you like best about school and the starting of school? Starsha?
Probably meeting new friends and meeting my teachers.
And meeting your teachers. And so what do you expect to do this year? Anything special? No. Curriculum-wise, sports, music?
This year I might be doing cheerleading or gymnastics.
Cheerleading.
Or some sport at St. Michael's Park.
Okay, St. Michael's. So I'm going to tell my director, the teacher of the Double Dutch squad, that you're into athletics. Because to be a cheerleader, you have to be athletic. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can do cartwheels and all of that. Yeah. So when you get ready to go to school on your first day, I see your little sister or your little friend is looking at you. She probably wants to come on the radio. And let her say something as well.
Okay.
Don't give her the mic. Just hold it to her mouth and say hi.
Hi.
Okay, there we go. Did you hear? Okay, so this interview is all about you today, okay? And I want you to make sure that you have a really good time on today and that when you get ready to go back to school, you take Sunshine with you. You can tell them all about the Double Dutch that you learned here today. Would that be okay? What would you like to say to the listening audience, all the other kids who are going to be hearing this about the school year?
Just have fun at school.
Just have a good time, right?
Yeah.
And make sure you stay safe.
Yeah. Make sure you stay safe because...
What's been going on in the past few years, Stasha, that would keep you in a place where you have to make sure you stay safe?
Kidnapping.
What else? Well, we don't have to talk about that now, but we're here today to have a good time.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you so much for the interview, Stasha. That's a really unique and pretty name, and so you go and be great. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Oh. All right.
Start.
Anytime you're ready, go ahead and start.
Check.
Oh, you guys are good.
Check.
You're fine.
So, Layla? Okay, here we go. Talking to my
You can start saying it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. Let you go. Are we being recorded, John?
Yes.
Today, please, we're coming live in Charleston. You hear Layla Ali, director of Jump Kids. Go ahead, Layla. Kick it in the high gear.
I'm the real Layla. Layla Little.
Layla Little.
Layla. No problems.
No problem. Okay, we're here in the Jefferson County Memorial Park in Charlestown, West Virginia, where we're having the back-to-school party featuring the Jump Kids led by Ms. Layla Little. And we're going to interview her. Yeah, you're welcome, Layla. I know you. How was your trip down to Martinsburg?
It was smooth. I think I slept most of the time.
You slept most of the time? Who was your driver?
My good friend, Tanika.
My daughter, Tanika.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I'm coming up here, you gotta drive me.
All right. And she gets
I'm
on the highway. She's a safe driver?
She's a safe driver.
Well, I'm glad you all made it, and I really appreciate you being here. Tell us a little bit about why you chose Double Dutch as a career path.
Oh, man. This goes back more than 25 years now. I started competitive Double Dutch at the age of 18, jumping for the Boys and Girls Club in Newark, New Jersey. And I just grew a love for it. The passion is so deep that I jumped all the way through elementary, winning countless championships, county, state, world, international championships. And they just couldn't beat us, young girls from Newark.
Yeah. You got a hunger for it.
Yeah, I mean, in high school, I still jumped. College, I became a head coach for one of the Boys and Girls Clubs in Newark. And then my partner and I, at the time, we just thought that we knew that we had a bigger vision for Double Dutch. We knew that it affected us in a way that we wanted to provide that experience for others in urban communities, in cities like Newark. If you can only imagine the adversity that we had to overcome. But Double Dutch was our outlet. So we started our team. We started our own team, and we named it Floyd Williams Double Dutch. Floyd is her last name. Little is mine. Mm-hmm. Not the football player.
Right.
And after that, I still felt like I could touch more kids. So lucky for us, or blessings for us, we got our own TV show on Lifetime called Jump a couple years ago, and we impacted thousands of kids everywhere. I mean, we would get emails and inboxes and DMs every single day, all day. And I said, we need to provide a platform for these kids, because we started with a league that it died, and they're not putting as much emphasis and as much effort in it that they used to when we were kids. So it doesn't make sense for us to start teams, and there's no platform for those teams to come.
Yeah.
So we started International Double Dutch.
International Double Dutch.
3 years ago. And some people don't like it, because you know, a lot of people don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand, coming from a jumper, coming from a children's standpoint, that it's needed. So 3 years, fast forward 3 years, we just did our championship in Atlantic City. And then as a coach, I realized something else. Like, listen, competitive Double Dutch is not just about winning. These kids need more. They need mental health services. They need nutritional counselors. And coming from the urban community, a lot of times we don't send our kids to get therapy. Like, we could just see someone, a brother go to jail yesterday, or somebody in the neighborhood, or a relative get killed yesterday, and it becomes a norm. But those things, those are tragedies.
Yes, they are. People become desensitized.
Yes, you need to go talk about that.
Yes.
In times when you don't eat, but you come to school and they think that you're supposed to do your work on regularly, like any other, but you didn't eat.
You didn't eat yesterday.
You didn't eat before yesterday. I had a girl that didn't eat in 3 days. Gave her first job as an assistant to our adult class, and she literally crawled in the gym because she didn't eat. She's fainting. Like, what was going on? She didn't eat since Thursday.
Kids keep that to themselves when they feel embarrassed when they don't have food?
We provided that family. See, we became their big sisters and moms, so they come to us. But before that, they didn't tell their teachers, they didn't tell their parents. Most of the time, their parents aren't in the home. They're the older siblings, so they're taking care of 3 other kids. So we provided that for them, that family. somebody's home, if you get the full say. And then, so I said, you know what, I have to do more. So I started Jump Kids. And Jump Kids is a medical practice at more so than a Devil Dutch organization. We provide mental therapy for the youth, from licensed clinical social workers. We provide nutritional counselors, I mean, for the youth. And then we just use Devil Dutch as an exercise component to fight childhood obesity and mental health issues like ACEs, EVERS, childhood experiences. So I actually transformed my Devil Dutch program from competitive Devil Dutch to a mental practice, a medical necessary.
A medical program. Necessary.
Yeah. So I'm working with pediatricians now, and hopefully I can bring it up here to West Virginia.
To West Virginia, and hopefully that is my my dream as well. I really applaud you on your efforts and what you're doing, and I really appreciate you coming to our community and trying to do what we say on Recovery Radio, cultivate the community as a community. And so, you know, and I heard someone say that Double Dutch was going to be slated as an Olympic style competition.
Yes, so again, I still want international Double Dutch. I can't get rid of competitive in me, right? So I'm president, active president right now of my league that I founded, and my co-founder, Jaquanda Floyd. So yeah, we're pushing, and we've been pushing this since we were kids. We're finally seeing it get to the Olympics. So in 2020, you'll see Double Dutch and single rope in the Olympics. You know how big that is?
That is like, that is very, really huge. And so I would invite the listeners here in the Eastern Panhandle to actually you know, get in touch with us so that we can maybe funnel that energy here in West Virginia and have you start an Olympic style school here in West Virginia, because we certainly have the room.
We need
to train.
It was on the Olympics. Gotta have a training facility.
Gotta have a training facility somewhere. And we have many that are, I believe, are being underused and understaffed. And I see some folks gathering around Al Thomas, the stand-up comedian, who you are really anxious and waiting to see what his performance is like.
Right.
We're gonna get him on air later on. But back to what you bring to our community. What is your desire? What is your long-term goal for West Virginia?
My goal is to use this platform to, again, touch as many people as possible and bring them together through the ropes. I see divisions of Double Dutch in West Virginia. I see chapters of Jump Kids all over the country and PA, and I'm able to sponsor these teams out of my own pocket. Now, I don't have to worry about tapping into the budgets of the school system or tapping into the budgets of the municipality. I can now funnel the money that I've made, blessed enough to make, hopefully, into teams so that the urban youth are not forgotten.
They're usually the first ones to be taken off the budget, right?
And we started competitive Double Dutch, but, you know, we're not in team now when it comes to Olympics, and that's something that I just want them to recognize. And they've called me, some of the other leagues have called me, and they said, you know, I agree, we have forgotten about that urban child who can't afford this program.
She loves this idea because it's a relatively cheap way to get this prescription that is needed, and also have some fun with it.
Yes.
What are some of the kinds of music, the songs that you guys Double Dutch to?
I mean, I've had kids in my program in music videos, from Missy Elliott videos to we performed on the stage. Award for BET Award for Pharrell and Missy Elliott again. That's crazy. I just noticed that. We did Missy Elliott video like 6-7 years before we went on a stage in LA for the BET Awards. And so we hip hop, rock and roll. I mean, I've seen some of my colleagues, they did something with Madonna.
Yeah.
All through these little ropes.
And you know, I this is Recovery Radio, as you know, and we talk a lot about the opioid addiction and the problems that we have here in West Virginia, as you know. And so I would encourage all the stakeholders, as I like to call them, and they know who they are, and listen to this, actually, listen to this Recovery Radio show, to kind of do some research about what it is that you bring to the table. And it's a necessary, what was the word you used?
It's a medically necessary program.
Medically necessary program. program. Here we go, and I think Thomas is cranking it up. Layla, so any parting words? Because I really hope that this trip down to beautiful West Virginia was not, well, it can't be a waste of your time.
Oh,
you're a giving person.
Oh,
but I'm hoping